Good morning, you guys. Good morning. I am so excited. Well, we are so excited to be here. I'm moving all these things because I don't know when it might just fall off. So, yeah. You know, somebody said to us, us coming here, the Lord is putting an organ in a body. And sometimes we go through this sort of operations where when a new organ comes in, the body could either accept it or reject it. So I am so glad. I hope it's accepted it. No, we really are so, thankful for all your prayers. I really mean it. We definitely felt it on the day when we moved. There was such peace. You know, there's normally when you move, there's always the stress and there's this pace about everything. But we really were so much at peace because of all your prayers. So thank you. It really is a pleasure and a joy for us to be here. You know, we are in the land of the living. You know, the people of Israel, they went everywhere, and then when they went to the place where God wanted them to be, they were at peace. So yeah, thank you. And thank you for, you guys leading us in worship. We really appreciate it. And all the guys, at the back and tea and coffee at the end. This is a good church. And I'm not saying it because I'm tasked to speak to you guys today. It really is, it's very, very hard. You know, when you look at a person, wow, this person looks healthy. This person looks after well. And this is a church. It looks after well. The Lord is the head of the church. And so, yeah, and we're thankful that we are here and walking with you guys. So I normally would invite you all home, but don't come just yet. There's full of boxes everywhere. But once we're all out of boxes, you can come and we will have an open house and all that kind of thing. But anyway, I would like to read a text before I start preaching and to the look at scriptures, what I'm tasked today. This is from 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16 to 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16 to 20. I'll just take some water. This is not the scripture that we're going to be looking at, but, there's water here already. Anyways, it says, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." This is Apostle Paul telling to the Corinthians. "For if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if I do this against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me." In other words, what he's saying is, even if I don't really want to, I'm still entrusted with this necessity. This trusteeship and this commission is laid upon me. So what then is my reward? Just this. When I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel, nor take advantage of my rights and privileges. For though I be free from all men, yet I have made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. So I became a Jew unto a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. You know, even as we are here, and if there was any mandate that I believe the Lord has laid on me, it's this necessity to preach the gospel of Christ. It is the greatest privilege of my life, and I do not deserve it, but it is by His grace that we are here, where we are here today. So, and my prayer that for us as a church, that if you will allow me to serve you guys, like Apostle Paul served the gospel, he served the Lord Christ by saving in His church. And so like I put it in my email, you know, from Genesis 30 verse 1, like Rachel cried for children, you know, or else I die. I pray that may we be the church that we cry for children for Christ, and may we win souls for Christ, and may we always be that shining, special people, holy nation, royal priesthood that God has called us to be in Peter. So, yeah, and even as we're here, if when you wash your dishes, when you dry your clothes, when you sit and watch your TV, if we do come up in your mind, just do a little bit of a prayer for us, utter a prayer for us, like we always do. It's very important that we pray for each other. So, that being said, I am so edified and thankful. So, let me just quickly pray before we start looking at the Word. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that we have worshipped you. And we thank you that you have prepared our hearts to listen and hear what you have got to say from your Word, Lord. And I pray that we are sinners. Lord, would you wash us all clean by your blood? And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you speak to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah chapter 49. We're going to look at 49, 50, 51, and 52. What is this? This is like Gareth has asked me to preach and then he's gone on holiday. It's great, isn't it? No, he deserves a well-deserved break. But turn it to 49, and of course, I won't read all of it, but we will look at it, and we will touch on what the Lord is saying, and then we'll move on. So, Isaiah chapter 49. But you will have looked Isaiah all the way from 1 to 48 with Gareth. Isaiah is such a great book. If there was anybody that who was mentioned in the New Testament a lot of times is Isaiah. He was a prophet that actually foresaw, well, along with the other prophets, in Deuteronomy, in one of the laws, it says, if he's a true prophet, all his words have to come to pass. And you look at New Testament, we are here looking at the past, all what he said in Isaiah have come to pass. And some, they haven't come to pass just yet. When the Lord comes back, it will come to pass. So, there are four servant songs in Isaiah. The first servant song is in Isaiah 42, 1 to 9. Today we'll look at the second servant song and the third servant song. And I'll tell you why it's called the servant song. You know, Isaiah 49. It says, "Listen to me, O coastlands, and give attention. You peoples from afar, the Lord called me out of the womb. From the body of my mother, he named my name. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away. And he said to me, 'You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified.' But I said, 'I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vain. Yet surely my right is with the Lord and my recompense with my God.'" You see, the original mandate when the Lord led Israel out of Egypt, the people of Israel were meant to be that people who were an example for the Lord, who were meant to be verse 6 in the same chapter says, "I will make you a light for the nations." The people were meant to be a light. They were meant to be different. If you are in a place where you stand apart, that is good because you are a Christian. You bear the cross of Christ in your life. And we're meant to be different, not in a weird way, but in a good way. Even in your workplace, they might think, so-and-so is so different. You know, they are so calm at work. You may not be calm at work, but I'm just saying, you may look at a situation and think, Lord, you are fully in control. But they may not have that. But you are special because you have the Lord in your heart. And that is what it says. The Israelites meant to be the first set apart nation for the Lord, but they rejected it. And you see through the Bible. And what happens? Christ came to us to be that light. You know, when it says a servant, you know, there are many views out there that Jesus is subordinate to God and he is the he's not equal. But our Lord Jesus Christ is a triune God. Is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And Jesus was the mediator that came to save us. And this servant here, Isaiah depicting, is Jesus Christ. And you see that in Isaiah 61. It's, you know, in verse 3, he says, he made my mouth like a sharp sword. Jesus, when he spoke, when it was in Genesis, things came to be. The Lord speaks and it happens. You know, in our life, it's the same. In Hebrews chapter 4, 12, you know, it says about this metaphor of God's word being that sword that cuts through and pierces through our soul and spirit and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of our heart. You see, God had chosen Jesus to bring the light of the gospel to the nations, the message of salvation to all people. I'm reading this from Acts chapter 13, verse 47. It says, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth, even though Israel labored in vain. And that's what we saw in chapter 49 here. They labored in vain and they failed. This prophecy is fulfilled in Christ. Jesus offers salvation to all the nations. He was first sent to reconcile the Jews to God. And the second purpose is to reconcile us as Gentiles to God. What a great God that we serve. What a great God that we were worshiping this morning. That we could be part of what He chose, a race. You know, our Lord is an immutable God. What do I mean by that? He's unchangeable. He never changes. We may change. Our friends may change, both physically and mentally and spiritually. But He will not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Thank you. You know, Luke 2:32 is a Simeon's, you know, the guy who was at the temple. He said, He, Jesus, would be the first to proclaim light both to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. And then again, I can give you another one. It's Acts 26:23. He would be the first to proclaim light. See, the light, 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 all the way from Old Testament into the New Testament. And today, the Lord Jesus Christ is ascended and is at the right hand of God. And He brings the gospel to the nations through His body, His church. We are His church. What did Jesus say in Matthew 28, 18 to 20? It's a great commission. Go and go make disciples. It's our mandate. You see, I'm going to skip through verses, guys. I don't think we're going to do expository preaching today. We will be there until the evening if I do. But trust me, these are some good stuff. These are like some good Sunday afternoon roast dinner. You can just chew on these words. If you look at verse 13 to 17, there is an analogy of a mother forgetting a child. 15, can a woman forget her nursing child that she would have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. Well, I can say for sure, the grace of the Lord, I never woke up to tend my little boys when they were little. It was my wife who woke up. It's almost like every kid, I don't know the your kids, but our kids, especially the older one, he had an inbuilt alarm. 3 a.m, nobody tells him to wake up, but he will just, wah! He will just start crying. And when people ask me, so, how did he sleep? Is he sleeping okay? I'm like, yeah, he's sleeping okay. He's fine. But if they ask my wife, she will give another answer. But this is what the Lord's saying. even if a woman, a mom forgets her nursing child, yet I will not forget you. The Lord doesn't forget you. The Lord does not forget you. And we shouldn't ever think, yes, we may have moments in our life that we may think like these guys felt. That's what the Lord is answering to the people's pain. Lord, you abandoned us. You sent us away into Babylon. That is the context in which the Lord is talking. Isaiah is talking to a nation that have been punished for their disobedience. Through the scriptures, you see the people of Israel were meant to have one God, and these guys had many gods, and they worshipped all the other gods except that one Lord God, Yahweh, Jehovah, but they kept failing him. And that is why the Lord, after many prophets being sent to warn them, and they still kept on sinning. And then as a result, they were sent into captivity in Babylon. And that's what the Lord is saying. Even if you think that you've been abandoned, I will not forget you. There's always a hope after punishment. It's like, just like us as parents, when you discipline your child, you may have different methods of disciplining. When I talk about when I grew up, you don't want me in your classroom for all the teachers. I got some good beatings in my life. And if you see all the teachers, well, I don't think they will ever forget the things I've done. But they will really testify to you the things that I've done. But what I'm trying to say is, when you discipline your child, you bring them to your heart. You bring them to comfort them and say, it's okay. You have done something, but it's okay. Now I want to comfort you. And that's what the Lord is telling here. You have done something that I wasn't very pleased, that it is a sin, and therefore you're punished, and now I am going to bring you back to myself. And that's what happened in Isaiah chapter 49:21. It says, then you will say in your heart, who has borne me these? I was bereaved and barren, exiled and put away, but who has brought up these? Behold, I was left alone. From where have these come? Thus says the Lord God, behold, I will lift up my hand to the nations and raise my signal to the peoples, and they shall bring your sons in their arms, and your daughters shall be carried on their shoulders. You see, when people came out of captivity, you will see that in the 2 Kings, when King Cyrus let them all go. This is what Isaiah was prophesying even 150 years before that had happened. He preserved a remnant that he will bring safely from Babylon to Jerusalem, that they may rebuild, that they may rededicate their life to the Lord. The Lord will not forget you. And today I stand and I wonder how many of us think that the Lord may have abandoned us. The Lord is not in the situation that we think, that we look unto ourselves. It's because we've taken our eyes off the Lord and we looked into ourselves. And we're looking at the letter that we may receive from somebody, from a counsel, or from a doctor, or from a teacher, whatever the situation is. I pray and I urge you guys to give it to the Lord. The Lord has not abandoned, you know. And Isaiah, going back in 11, it talks about a stump that is completely cut off. The tree is cut off. And when you look at the stump, there is no more tree in that. There is nothing to say that there's going to be a tree. And Isaiah 11:1, I'll quickly read this to you guys. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. We may think there is no way this is going to work. There's no way there's going to be a tree that's going to come out of the shoot. But the Lord says, is anything too hard for me? Is my arm too short to save you from a situation? The Lord will not abandon us. Verse 23 of 49. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Those who wait for me shall not be put to shame. And how many of us, including myself, I'm putting this in my own life, that I sometimes hurry and I go and I do things in my own strength, and then I mess it up, and then I realize, why didn't I just dedicate this to the Lord first? Commit your things to the Lord, and all these things will come to pass. Proverbs. And we don't wait on the Lord. Let us wait and we hope in the Lord. Because the Lord in here says, those who wait for me shall not be put to shame. Do we want to be ashamed in our place, in our house, in our community? No, we don't. 24:25. Even the captives of the mighty shall be taken, and the prey of the tyrant be rescued. For I will contend with those who contend with you, and I will save your children. What great promise this is, guys. The Lord is saying that I will contend, I will fight for you, I will fight your battles. You know, you see in the Bible where Gideon were told to take down this vast army. We were doing this in our family devotion, and the boys were so astounded. There's only 300 people to get these much of army down. You see, for the Lord, it's not impossible. You may think, wow, this is too hard for me because I don't know how this is going to work. It says here, I will contend with those who will contend with you. And I pray this would be our prayer. Lord, fight for me. And that's what Psalmist David always prayed in Psalm. I'm marching on because of the time. Otherwise, we could go on and on. So don't be afraid, you know. If you're taking notes, I didn't tell you guys, the title is I lost my title. The Servant King. The Servant King. And the first point I arranged under that heading 49 was, Behold your God. Behold your God. Now we go to the second one, Trust in your God. Trust in your God. Isaiah 50:1-2. See, God promised and made a covenant to Israel through a person called Abraham, but they broke away from sinning, which we looked at earlier. And look, again, is my arm too short that you have to ask for help from someone else? And see, that's the reason why they were punished. They were asking. It's like my kid going to ask someone else for something. I'm thinking, why didn't you ask me? I am your father. You're meant to ask me. I have a relationship with you. See, the Lord will never give up on you. I think this portion of scripture, I was consulting some commentaries and seeing, is there any way that I could describe this, what Jesus did, has done on the cross? But I'm telling you, there is no one on earth who could actually describe what Jesus did on the cross for us. Look, if you will, chapter 50, verse 4-6. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with the word. Morning by morning he awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. You look at this verse 6. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheek to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. Wow. If we could understand what Jesus went through on the cross. The Romans, when they scourged Jesus on his back, the scourge was a whip with bits of bone tied to its end. The prisoners would often be dead from this punishment. This is the Roman way of penalty and a punishment of somebody who has sinned. And yet Jesus did this for us, even though he did not sin. He took a severe beating with a multi-lashed whip containing bone and metal. This is a quote from Spurgeon. "See how the patient Jesus stands, insulted in his lowest case. Sinners have bound the Almighty hands and spit in the Creator's face." See, the things that Jesus went through for me and for you and for all our sins that we have done, that we might commit and we might commit in the future, that he has taken all that upon himself and he died on the cross. What people don't normally understand is that they might think, oh, the enemies, the Satan put Jesus on the cross. No. It was God who laid all our sins, all the thoughts, the dirty thoughts we might have, all the sins that we have committed on Jesus as a ransom for many. That one sacrifice that Jesus Christ could lay for us, that we might live. And if we look, one day when I go to heaven with the assurance of the Lord, bold as we approach, I think we sang that song today. I think we should sing more of this. Old hymns, guys, there's so much truth and there's so much theology. There's so much about God. And that is what worship is about. We are here to worship the Lord. And I think the current trend is that we've gone so far away from singing about the Lord and we just turn to looking about us. Lord, this is what I want and I do this. And it's about I. But it's not about the I, it's about the Lord. We are here on a Sunday morning to worship the Lord. We are here on a Sunday morning to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. And when we compare our situations in our life, when we compare the things of our life, compared to what Jesus did on that cross. I read that again. "See how the patient Jesus stands, insulted in his lowest case. Sinners have bound the Almighty hands and spit in the Creator's face." We, if we look at them and say, wow, you guys, Romans, you spat on Jesus' face. We did that. Whenever we sin, we do that to Jesus. I don't think anybody, like I said, could understand what Jesus did on the cross for us. Verse 10 and 11 of 51. See, who do we trust? Nothing. We can't trust in no one. You see, it says, in 10 and 11, it says about the light. "Then the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads, and they shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." This is Isaiah telling about when they were coming out of captivity, that they will be dancing. They will be happy because they're not in their captivity no more, but they're in Christ. My third topic is listen to God. First was behold your God. And the second was trust in God. Third one is listen to God. We're making our way into 51. Who do you listen? It says here, "Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who bore you, for he was but one when I called him." God, like I was saying, he has not changed. The God who wanted Abraham and the race through Abraham, we have come across. When we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, as Abraham believed, we are brought into his relationship through the new covenant. I'll tell you about that in a bit later. What does this word listen mean? Listen here means there's so many meaning to it. To listen, to hear, to obey, to hear with attention. So Jewish people have prayed these prayers, a way of expressing their devotion to God. They are called Shama. Can you say with me the word Shama? Now you know all the Hebrew that I know. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, "Hear, O Israel, Shama, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. And as for you, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." See, the meaning, Shama, as a one word, hear. There's another one that you can listen. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 12. Ears that Shama, ears that hear, and eyes that see, the Lord has made them both. There's another way the Jewish people would respond to that is to, Shema, is to respond. Psalm 27:7. Shema my voice when I call, O Lord, be merciful, answer me. So asking God to Shema is at the same time asking God to act. You're praying, Lord, hear my prayer. Lord, listen to my prayer. That you are saying, Lord, just please act. Please, would you do this? And that is what he's saying here in chapter 51, verse 1. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness. And then look at the verse 4. Give attention to me, my people. Verse 7. Listen to me, you who know righteousness. You see here, the Lord is saying, listen, listen, listen. Respond. Let's obey. Let's give attention to our Lord. Exodus chapter 19, verse 5 to 6. If you shama me fully and keep my commandment, if you listen to me fully and keep my commandments, then out of all the nations, you will be my treasured possession. Exodus 19, 5, 6, which I told you guys earlier. That was their plan. That were meant to be the position, their prized position for the Lord. And that's what he's asking here, for us to listen to him. And you know, it would be wrong of me to not give the good attributes. Now, good is not the right word. Is to give the word as a whole word. You know, in Timothy says, the word of God, when Apostle Paul was writing these New Testament, they didn't have the New Testament like we have. The whole counsel of God is the Old Testament. And you see, the Lord is faithful. You see, the Lord is kind. You see, the Lord has forgiven. And you see, his mercies are ever new. His praises are always there's new hope and there is new joy. 51 verse 4 to 6. It talks about the wrath of God. And it would be wrong of me to not tell you about the wrath of God. And I can tell you that Jesus is coming back one day. And he's preparing us. Yeah, hallelujah. He's preparing us to take us home. I've been told of a wealthy man who died recently. This is a quote. Death came unexpectedly to him, as it almost always does. So he sent out for his lawyer to draw his will, and he went on willing away his property. And when he came to his wife and child, he said he wanted them to have the home. You have the home. But the little child didn't understand what death was. She was standing near. And she said, "Papa, have you got a home in the land you're going to?" The arrow reached that heart. But it was too late. He saw his mistake. He had no home beyond the grave. See how sad that is. I'm asking you today, have you got a home in the land you are going to after you die? Isn't it a great promise that Jesus said, I am going to go and prepare a mansion for you. Those who are in Christ, we are assured that we will live with him, that we will reign with him, that we will be in heaven with him. Jesus saying in Matthew chapter 10, this is Jesus saying, Matthew chapter 10, 28, and he was the one who talked about the hell. He was the one who talked about the torment more than any of the prophets in the Old Testament, more than anybody else in the New Testament. Do not fear who will kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. This is what Matthew Henry, a quote again, though there are difficulties on the way to heaven, yet the grace of God will carry us over them and make even the mountains a way. You see, when we are in Christ, we needn't worry about where we're going to go. Bold as we approach, again, going back to the song, we approach the throne room of God, that we're not going to be one of those in Matthew 7, 22, where God says, depart from me, you evildoer, for I never knew you. Instead, what we can do when we are in Christ, that we can approach the throne room of God, where God will say, good, well done, my faithful servant. Welcome, come in and dwell in the mansion that I prepared for you. See, that is a wrath of God. To be in Christ is that we escape the wrath of God. Because the Lord will judge when the great white throne, the Bema seat, will be there, and the Lord will be there to judge the nations. And to Matthew 25 again, to those who are in the right-hand side, the sheep come and the goats. And today, I'm asking you guys, which camp are we? Are we a sheep that follow the Lord Jesus Christ, that he went after that one and escaped? Or are we goats, that rebellious goat attitude that we have? We are sheep in his pen. And I look, drive here in this new land of the living, as I said, I look at all the sheep, and they are just grazing away and just happy. And that's what we're meant to be doing, just graze away in the word of the Lord. Time is ticking away, you guys. My fifth point is comfort in God. 51 verse 12 to 6. See what comforting words this, let me just read this to you guys quickly. I am he who comforts you. Who are you that you are afraid of man who dies, of the Son of Man who is made like grass, and have forgotten the Lord your Maker, who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth? And you fear continually all the day because of the wrath of the oppressor when he sets himself to destroy. I am he who comforts you. I am he who comforts you, says the Lord. I am he who comforts you. The Lord is our comfort. And that's what I said to you guys earlier. We may have whatever situation. Remember that King Hezekiah, when the enemy king and came and besieged the land, and he sent the letter to say, you are nothing. I'm just paraphrasing it. This is not what he said. You are nothing. You're no one. Compared to my gods, your God is no one. And what did he do? He took the letter and he spread it out before the Lord. And he said, Lord, I have nowhere. I could not do this. You have to do this. And I believe some of us here, that's what we meant to do. Just give it to God and don't hold back. I think when we hold back, we will not see the hand of the Lord work, because the Lord will, you do it. You wanted to do it, you do it. But when you give it to the Lord, he will comfort you. That's a great promise here. I am he who comforts you. Verse 52:7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. Who brings good news of happiness? Amen to that. Amen to that. You see, it's such a great analogy. How beautiful are the feet? No one looks at your feet, do they? You always almost wear a slipper or a shoe or whatever these generation. You guys, cool dudes, will have so many names for all the shoes, but nobody looks at the feet. But Isaiah says, how beautiful upon the mountains. That takes good news. It's not talking about your mouth. It's not talking about your heart. It's not talking about your hand. It's talking about your feet. It's like, I encourage you guys, you know, go with, that's what Jesus said in Matthew 28, go and make disciples. When you take your feet to the place where, and you say to that neighbor, to say to that, the work colleague, like an alpha, to that person who always questions things, to that person you always wanted to talk to that person that you see every day at the bus station or the train or wherever else that you, when you go, the Lord will providentially bring a situation to you. You remember that example from Philip when he went to that place, the Ethiopian was reading the book of Isaiah. And he said to him, well, what does it say? Well, Philip just went because the Lord was leading him. And that's how the Lord will lead us as well, when we take our feet and go and serve the Lord. That was comfort in God. And my last point, you guys, is the people of God. Chapter 52, verse 11 to 12. And I'm going to stop there because the next song is the last of the servant song. It says, depart, depart, go out from here, touch no unclean thing. Go out from the midst of her. Purify yourself, you who bear the vessels of the Lord. For you shall not go out in haste, and you shall not go in fight. For the Lord will go before you, and the Lord God of Israel will be a rear guard. What a great place to stop. You see, excuse me, the Lord is telling you that I will go before you this week, and I will go behind you. I'll go beside you. And this is the prophecy God fulfilled when King Cyrus let them go. He's saying you won't go and fight because the Cyrus let them go willingly out of the goodness of a heart. Not only that, the Lord put that in his heart, which was also prophesied. But I'm telling you guys today, let's depart from the world. Like the people went out of Israel, they're meant to depart. The reason why they were punished, because part of their heart was still in Egypt. Part of their heart was still in Babylon. They were constantly looking at the world. I want what they want. I want their God. I want the way they do things. I want. But all they want was in Christ. All they wanted, needed, was in the Lord. Let me finish with this great song. Down in a lowly manger, our humble Christ was born and brought us all salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Now, you go, tell it on the mountains, over the hills and everywhere that Jesus Christ is born. Now, you go tell. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 to 10. Oh, by the way, talking about Christmas, is 108 days. To Christmas. So I will take, if you want to ask me what I want for Christmas, no, I'm only joking. Yeah, let me read this for you guys, the last, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 to 10. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 to 10. But you are a chosen race. You are the chosen race. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. The God who chose Abraham and said, out of you will come a nation that will be named and called my people, is the same God. We are in the same covenant through Christ. That you may proclaim the excellencies of God who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He called you out of darkness. He called you out of the sins. He called you out of the turmoil that we were in. Once you were not a people. A people. We are a people. But now you are God's people. Now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you had received mercy. So, come to Christ. Belong to Him. If you hear His voice today and you don't have a relationship with Christ, and if you haven't confessed in your mouth and believed in your heart that Jesus Christ is your God, when you don't know where you're going to, and if you want to boldly approach that throne room of God, what a great song. I think we should sing that song again. I didn't even email you about, you know, Garrett said if you have any songs. And I think that's what we need to have, guys, the relationship in Christ. I boldly go before the Lord God of heavens and the earth when He creates a new Jerusalem in Revelation. I go boldly and say, I belong to Christ. He is my mediator. He is that servant king. He is the Lord that saved me out of my sin. The Christ, He mediates for me. And He will tell God, I know Him. He is in me. And He is the branch that I am the vine. So I encourage you guys today, even as we sung the song and we looked at 49, 50, 51, 52. I can't believe we looked at all this. But I tell you guys, go home and in your own time, just meditate in the Lord. Think about what the Lord is telling you. And thank the Lord for all His goodness in your life. And look back and see how He has saved you. And give glory to Him and come unto you in the Lord. And I won't go anywhere. If you do want to talk about the Lord, see, this is what I go to seminary for. This is what we're here for, to serve you. So if you do have anything to come and ask. And this other lovely folks are here. Let me pray for you guys before we go. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word, that I may not have done the justice to look at everything that you have said in your word. But Father, you know your people. You know their needs. You know their situation. You know their hearts. And you know where their mind is. And you know whatever the situation they're going to go into. Father, I pray that you would go before them and you would go behind them. And just as your word says, Lord, that we trust and we believe in you. And Lord God, we thank you. Christ, come in our hearts, Lord, and rule our hearts. And we pray that we will boldly approach your throne one day when you come. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen. Amen.